You're listening to the Music Tech Teacher Podcast, episode number 71. Welcome to the Music Tech Teacher Podcast. Music tech tips, lesson ideas, advice, news, and interviews, especially for music teachers. Brought to you by midnightmusic.com.au. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Music Tech Teacher Podcast. I'm Katie Wardrobe, a music technology and education trainer, speaker and consultant from midnightmusic.com.au, where I help music teachers use technology effectively in music education. In this episode, I talk with Mark Gelfo, who is the co-founder and CEO of Modacity, an app that aims to help musicians use their practice time effectively and efficiently. Now, Mark and I discuss how Modacity works, what it's like to create a mobile app from scratch, and we talk about tips for practicing more effectively. As usual, you can find the links to the things we talk about on the show notes page for this episode at midnightmusic.com.au/71. Before Mark and I get started with our chat, this episode is sponsored by my new free online training course, 9 iPad Apps Music Teachers Love and How to Use Them. It's a 75-minute webinar on demand in which I show you the apps that I like most for things like creativity, composition, notation, music literacy, transposition, playback, formative assessment, and digital portfolios. There are also some lesson ideas for each app that can be used with a range of student ages. Now, teachers who take this free online training will also receive a professional development certificate of attendance. So head over to midnightmusic.com.au/iPad apps to grab your free spot. Okay, now on to my talk with Mark from Modacity. Mark Gelfo has been combining music and technology since he was 5 years old. After applying cognitive science and computer science degrees to his approach to French horn playing, Mark became an international touring symphony musician. He's played and toured on 3 continents, including performances with the San Francisco Symphony and the Philadelphia Orchestra. Mark is the co-founder and CEO of Modacity, an app that aims to help musicians use their practice time efficiently and effectively, which is something we all want more of. When asked for a quirky or interesting fact about himself, Mark told me that he speaks elf language with his family. Welcome, Mark. Did you remember you wrote that?
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Do you know what? I actually thought... Okay, clearly a joke. And then I thought, actually, maybe he does. Because I know that there are
It's not a joke.
There are some people who are really into Lord of the Rings. And I know that there are YouTube videos on how to speak the main languages that they used in Lord of the Rings. And I just thought, maybe that's what he means.
Actually, elf for me is it's an abbreviation of emotional life force, and it's a way of communicating that's sort of like musical speech that's not tied to a particular language.
Oh, that's very cool. That's much nicer. That's very funny. So, it's funny when I had an email from Liz, who you work with, I saw that, you know, you have an app and it's a practice app. And my first reaction was, oh, no, not another practice app, you know, because there's a lot of practice apps around. But this one is actually quite different. So I really want to talk about that. But I'd love to know a little bit first about how you got started with developing an app in the first place. When did that idea come to you? And I'd love you to tell people, what were the steps you take? Because I get a number of music teachers who come to me and they say, look, I have this idea for an app. I think everybody's got an idea somewhere in their head for an app. And it's kind of like, I have an idea for writing a book. You know, it's that same sort of thing. And the next question is, what do you actually do with that idea? I mean, you know, a lot of people want to do it inexpensively, which I'm like, I don't think there is a way to do that. But, you know, what other steps do you, you know, who do you go and find to actually take on app development for you or help you with that? So tell me.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, tell me about that story.
Well, I have the incredible distinguishing qualification of being, I think, a 7-time music school reject. And I say it because what happened was I actually ended up studying, as you mentioned, computer science and cognitive science. And I was also studying Chinese at the same time. And I became thoroughly aware of a really big gap between what science knows about learning and what language learners do and what musicians do. And, you know, as sort of like freshly rejected from music schools going through this degree, I was like, oh, I didn't, you know, not make it to conservatory because I was untalented. I didn't make it because I had no idea how to practice.
Yes.
And so I was shooting myself in the foot and just wasting, in some ways, wasting my talent, you know, by not practicing. I wasn't motivated to practice because I didn't know how to practice. And so I didn't get results in the practice room. I didn't enjoy it. And my relationship with the instrument was not really very, I don't know, it just wasn't well. It wasn't a good relationship. So I realized that about halfway through my cognitive science degree, ended up applying for a second undergrad in music to another school at Indiana, actually, and started that. And as soon as I got into the conservatory studying French horn, I thought, oh, I need software. I need software for this. I had a practice journal, you know, where you type in or you write in, okay, December 9th, 11:14 a.m., I'm doing my scales now. And then, okay, 11:31 a.m., I'm doing my Brophy low horn etudes. And I did like years. I have 15 practice notebooks in my office at this point. They kind of inspire me to keep on building something to replace them. And the whole time that I was studying horn, I thought my life would be so much better if I had software for this. So the idea was, it's almost 15 years now in the making.
Wow, really? 15 years? That's a long time. Because the app is iOS only at this point, but I think you've got plans for Android in the future, haven't you? Yeah. And the software side of things. So were you originally, because iOS has not been around that long. I'm just doing calculations in my head. Nope. So were you thinking originally it was going to be a laptop, you know, like, you know, installable software on your computer type thing?
Yeah, I thought I wanted some kind of environment. I mean, that's the key. Modacity is a practice environment
that
supports
that
you in making good
choices. Yeah, and that was the big difference for me, because when I saw Practice App, there's a number of other apps around which have a different focus, like some of the apps which you can play music into, and it has the piece of music preloaded into it, and then it gives you feedback on with red notes and green notes where you're right, where you're wrong. I kind of thought, oh, it's another one of those. And then there's some other apps where you can upload your sheet music into it just as a storage place, you know, so you've got things digitally, and it's not that either. And then as I started using it and watching the videos and things, I thought, it's exactly that. It's a digital version of your practice journal or your practice diary. And I had them too. I mean, I did not keep mine from school, but I had years of piano ones. You know, my piano teacher would scribble. The one thing I actually remember her writing once was in massive capital letters, nails, like cut your nails, because my nails were too long for piano and they're clattering on the keys. So she's like, nails. But, you know, she also would say, you know, this week you're going to practice these three scales and you need to do it at this tempo, and these think about this articulation or concentrate on whatever it was. So, and that's what this app does. It's the focus of it really is the guided and effective practice.
It's a little bit more than that. You don't get to have recordings in your paper journals.
True.
And you don't get computer generated statistical insights on how your mastery is changing over time.
Yep.
There's a little bit that you can't do without software. And self-recording and closing that feedback loop and making it a rapid feedback loop so that you actually can start to internally imagine what your sound is like, which is required to become like a really effective musician, doesn't happen without a rapid feedback loop of self-recording. So it makes some new things possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wrote that it's that practice diary on steroids, though, because of all those extra things that you can do. Yeah, because I really like that too. And the ability to grab a recording is almost instantaneous because it's kind of just there all the time. And I think that's a really useful thing. It doesn't require... it doesn't have a barrier to, I've got to find another app that will do that for me, because of course your phone has an inbuilt voice memo app. You could just do that and grab a voice memo recording, but it's in there in the app, and of course then it gets archived with the date and everything, so it's kind of cool. You can go back and listen to things that you've practiced over time, last week, last month, last year, and see your progress over time, which I really love.
So
go back to the developing the app story. We'll talk more about the features and how it works later on, but so you had this idea, and then what took it from idea to actually getting something made?
Well, I was thinking about it, and I won an orchestra audition by putting these principles into action just on paper.
Excellent.
And was in the Hong Kong Philharmonic for a long time. And it was when I was runner-up for the Los Angeles Philharmonic that I got really, really frustrated, because peak performance is so important. And being in flow, I don't know if you're familiar with the term flow state.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's actually a different neurochemical situation in the brain when you're in flow that makes learning 500% deeper, increases your retention and creativity. And I was frustrated that I knew how to practice well, but getting all the tools together of the journal and the self-recorder and the timer and the organizational binder and all this stuff was preventing me from being in flow because of the friction of moving between the tool set. And I knew that I could get a 500% gain in my effectiveness if I was able to practice in a flow state.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that was like the impetus that pushed me over. And then as far as actually developing it, what happened was I made a mistake, a big mistake first, and I did not get any external guidance. I just took a break from performing, told everyone I wouldn't be available for a few months, and started building some software. And that's how you don't do it. You don't go, I have a great idea for an app, and then you try kind of like hire someone, try and build it, and you have no experience leading a project. That's not how you do it. And eventually I got so fed up and overwhelmed with the lack of success. I had at that point, I joked, more apps than users. I built like 3 apps and had one user.
It's a hard road, isn't it? It's a big thing.
There's a lot of hard roads you can take, and there's easier roads. And eventually what I did was, there's a process of going from idea to reality where you test that idea. You talk to people who have the problem you want to solve, and you confirm and validate that that's actually a problem that's worth money to them. And if it's not, like, hey, I've got a great idea for, it's going to remind you to cut your nails before you practice piano. And it's going to be location-based. It's going to be the nail cutter reminder for pianists app. And like, I'm going to build it. I'm going to go get a team together. No, you got to like talk to people, validate, and really find out what the pain is underneath, say, music practice. So I talked to 50-100 people, asking them, what's the hardest thing about practice for you? Walk me through the last time you practiced and find all those points of friction. And at that point, I ideated the entire solution space. I looked at revenue models. I looked at alternative revenue models. I presented the idea to advisors and got lots of ideas pushed down. And then eventually what you do is you decide, what's the minimum viable thing that I can build?
Yeah.
So I decided I'm going to build a deliberate practice assistant. And I mocked it up using Typeform, which is a survey tool.
Yep.
And it was just like, what are you going to practice now? Type it in. Okay, Mozart, Sonata number 3. Okay, great. Play it. Now type in what you want to improve the most. Phrasing. Okay. Now, what do you think will improve your phrasing? Breathing in the phrase. Okay, now try it and say how it worked, like rate it 1 to 5 on this type form.
That's cool,
okay.
Yeah.
And it took, 30 minutes to build. And I just got 10 people in and said, okay, try this out. What do you think? How does this work? And find the problems. From there, I went to a paper prototype where I just drew the screens on paper and walked people through the app flow. Like, okay, what button do you want to push? And they'd be like, oh, I want to push the record button. And I was, okay, it takes you to this screen. And I'd shuffle that screen. So I got done with a lot of the really bad, I got through a lot of the bad ideas and, bad design ideas quickly.
Yeah.
That's really important.
I think the feedback's super important. And, you know, I live in a world of online business. And so I'm often around other entrepreneurs who are in totally different industries to me. And a lot of them are app developers. And everybody's talking about that minimum viable product and just, and also the feedback from people and that whole thing about, you know, if people actually don't want to spend money on your solution, there's actually no point in making it. And you can waste so much money finding that out, where, like you said, mm-hmm. if you just ask people in the first place, it's a lot about that feedback and getting it done like that. I love the drawing on paper. I do that a lot too, even just for my own website. I'm changing things at the moment. So actually I have a big whiteboard and I have, you know, boxes on the whiteboard drawn out. This page goes to this page, and on this page it's broken down into this box and this box mm-hmm. and this box. And it's mm-hmm. so much easier just to draw it out with pen and paper or whiteboard, whatever it is, and to see it that way. And yeah, and so app development is a lot about that. I know a lot of people work with it's wireframes, isn't it? We're sort of a digital version of that. But I still think better through the pen or the pencil, I find. I'm not sure if you are the same too, but just physically drawing it out is a lot. It makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So after that point, was it at that point, did you end up getting, can I ask, did you end up getting funding to start the app off and get development done, or, you know, did you funded it yourself in the end?
Well, yeah, it was a combination. I self-funded a lot of it. And then I went to some friends and family and said, hey, you know, I'm offering a little bit of equity in the company. If you'd like to help get us off the ground. So that was super helpful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Because I think it's important to know when people come and say, hey, I've got this great idea for an app, there's quite a cost involved in it. You know, it doesn't have to be millions of dollars, but you still need to pay at some point a graphic designer, for instance. Someone needs to decide what it's going to actually look like and what the colors are and the fonts that you use, and someone needs to actually do the coding of the app, and sometimes that's the app developer, or say you maybe gifted and talented in that area, but a lot of people are not, so they'll hire someone to do that. So there's, you know, multiple costs involved, and then you need things like a website set up for it, so there's somewhere for people to go, and submitting it to the App Store and all of those processes.
I mean, the time cost is actually bigger.
Yeah.
The time and energy that it takes to bring something to market is so immense that if you haven't validated it 100% with existing customers, preferably got someone to pay for it before it exists.
Yes, that's a really good way.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, so when you had got some validation, and then how did you go and find an app developer? I know we're concentrating on this a lot, but I'm super interested in this. I find it a fascinating process. So, did you go or did you do some yourself?
I did some myself. I would recommend that if anybody's listening and they want to build it up, there's a cool tool called Thunkable. Thunkable allows you to build apps without writing any code.
Oh, that's cool.
Spell it for me. That's like a pretty useful way.
That's cool.
Well, Thunk, T-H-U-N-K.
Okay.
Thunkable. Yeah.
Awesome. Love it. All right. I'm writing it down for the show notes.
Yeah. So that's one way you can do it. There's just so many ways to prototype an app. Well, I did end up coding our alpha over just 3 or 4 days. Like, you really shouldn't invest much time building your first product because you have to make sure people will use it, even if it really sucks.
Yeah.
And then after I'd done that, I found a co-founder who's our design genius. So we talked through all the design problems, and she came up with, you know, the fonts, the colors, how the screens look, and all that stuff.
I have to say, I absolutely love the colors. Those that haven't seen it, it's kind of like purples and blues, and it's like my favorite color family. There's sort of, I don't know, it looks really beautiful. Like, the website looks beautiful, and the app as well. It's all very streamlined and ties in. So great job. Great job on the design.
Yeah, that's Andrea. Good job, Andrea.
Yeah, thanks.
And Andrea. And same thing, we did surveys with our alpha testers of color palettes, and we said, which color palette do you like the best? And that was the one that performed.
Yeah, beautiful. Because it's calming. I think that's one of the things I find anyway. It's a calming sort of color palette. So yeah, really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then after that, that initial stage, so you launched a kind of a basic version of the app, the minimal viable product version. And was that into the App Store at that point?
No, that was in beta. And then we We recruited for a developer who could be a full-time builder and architect properly, because I can't really do it to that level. And I'm CEO of the company. I've got so many other things to do than build.
Yeah.
So we got a full-time developer who built it, and he built the beta version in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Of real hard work, and launched that, got about 100, 150 beta users to make sure, you know, found all the bugs, figured out the corners that didn't make sense, and then launched after about a month of the beta, we launched live in the App Store. That was April.
I thought we should actually talk through the, you know, what the app looks and feels like, because essentially when you open it up, this has been my experience so far. So you basically set up practice items. They're kind of like individual things that you want to work on. So for me, it could be scales, or it could be rudiments, or it could be even a warm-up. It could be a whole song, or it could be a specific part of a song. I've actually set up sections of songs. So is this good? Okay, Mark's giving me the thumbs up here. I know no one can see this. Yeah, so I actually put in, so I'm doing ukulele stuff with my 11-year-old, and we're learning songs together. So we've been working on From Toy Story, You've Got a Friend in Me, using a previous guy that I've interviewed on the show, Chris Russell. He has some play-along videos on YouTube, and it's great. You can slow down the play-along video, which there's a lot of chords in this song, so we had to slow it down. But we've been working on this. So I set up as a practice item initially, You've Got a Friend in Me. Just put it in there. And then I thought, you know what, I think it's going to be more useful to break it down a little bit, because I'm okay with the verse, but the intro, no, because the set of chords in the intro doesn't reappear in the song later. So the verse kind of gets repeated. I'm better at that. So I set up You've Got a Friend in Me intro ukulele, and that was one of my practice items. And the great thing is that then I can say, okay, today I want to practice just that intro. So I head into the app and I open up that practice item. And as soon as you open it up, it's tracking your time that you've spent practicing this item, which I really love, because, again, you don't have to find your separate stopwatch app on your phone or iPad or something and open that up separately. And then you don't have to manually record the fact that you spent 15 minutes today practicing the intro, or 10 minutes or whatever, because the app just accumulates that time. And it's great, because it breaks it down by date even. So from a teacher's point of view, I'm thinking, it's great. You could see from your students, they could bring in the app and say, hey, this is what I did this week. Hopefully they haven't just sat there with the app open with it clocking time and not actually doing anything. But you can probably tell as a teacher. But that's where the recording component also comes in. You could say, hey, you know, show me the recordings that you've made. And as a teacher, I think it's great, because you could say, look, I want you to do a recording on Monday, Wednesday and Friday this week, and it needs to be practicing the intro. And I think it does. It's such a great way to help hold people accountable, but also to focus on the things you actually need to practice. Because Josh and I doing this song together, it's so easy just to hit play on the video and play the whole thing through. And then we still are really bad at the same things that we were bad at last time. We haven't actually. And I said to him, we need to stop, and we need to just show the intro chords on the screen, and we need to just practice this bit over and over and over and over. And then go on, and then we'll go back to doing the whole song. And I'm trying to teach him how to practice, you know, as well. So the app really, really helps this sort of thing. So what have I missed in that? So practice items. I know we'll get to playlists in a minute, because that's another whole thing. But the practice items, what else have I missed there?
Well, I think there's a piece about the experience of practicing where it's really easy to play something over and over again and kind of mindlessly repeat, or just get caught up and overwhelmed with a number of errors. And Modacity can help with that by using the deliberate practice feature. That's something that I just constantly...
I knew I forgot something.
Yeah. So you record yourself, and then you stop and put your instrument down and listen. And that moment not only resets your body, it gives you a chance to consolidate the experience and learn from the experience and decide what you actually need to work on. And then there's just a button, the improve button, and you just press the improve button, choose what you want to improve, and you can type it in or choose from the list, like phrasing or, you know, intonation. Choose a strategy that you think is going to cause that improvement, and then test that strategy to scientifically make sure that it works. Because one of my pain points coming from a science background is I would have teachers tell me, you know, like, oh, well, you know, relax your toes during that passage and that'll make it work. Or pay attention to your chin. Make sure that you have a tight chin. And sometimes those strategies work and sometimes they don't. But it's important to bring a little rigor to evaluating them and kind of separate it out and say, okay, yeah, that worked. Oh, no, that didn't work.
Yeah.
And then Modacity automatically logs all of that in your history so you can see what worked and repeat that.
Yeah. And I think that's a useful one because sometimes you do that thing where the teacher says to you, hey, try this, or somebody says to you, try this, and it does work. And then 3 months later, maybe you're doing a different piece of music, but you are having the same sort of issues. And then you think, what did I do last time to fix that problem? And sometimes you can remember and often you just can't. And if you've got a teacher there to tell you, okay, well, I think we tried this and, you know. But I think it's that scientific approach. It appeals to my mind and the way it works. It's a bit more, you know, you're logging things and you're tracking things and you can go back and say, yeah, this is what worked. And even you can go back to your recordings and listen to what you were like, you know, earlier, and then how did you improve it over time. And so, and the deliberate practice feature, I like the way that it has some suggestions for you, because I think as a student, you know, if you're a teacher with a student who's in high school, say, the student might not even know any strategies. They might not, I don't know, what could I do to improve it? No idea. I mean, they might come up with something, but the teacher has often a repertoire of things that they know might help, and let's try this sort of thing. So, but it's really good that the app can actually suggest a few options for you, but you can also add your own ones in too, which is a great thing.
Most of the time, even for me, like I have all the strategies, but just seeing the list of the ones that are already programmed in there, kind of like, I'll do that one. It'll probably work.
Yeah, and just see what happens.
It's like, just saves me time. I think for high school students or less experienced practicers, there's a lot of work to do to expand the app to make it really easy for them to practice. But as teachers or as more sophisticated musicians, it's like right there. And then when we're teaching students, like when I teach using Modacity, I can just make a little note on my students' practice item of like, oh, pay attention to, you know, your rhythm exactly on this. And then it's right there. Yeah.
I think it's good. The other thing I found useful in the practice items as well, there's an option to add a note. And so initially I was thinking, you could sort of write down things that you need to improve on the note, which you can use it that way. But when I was doing this intro on that song on the ukulele, I thought, actually, I'm just going to write the chords in for the intro into the note, because when I bring up the practice item, I don't need to see the play along video. I just need what's the sequence of eight chords for that section. So I just wrote them into the notes, and it was really cool. So this morning I just brought that up and I went, oh yeah, cool. You know, C dim 7 or whatever it is. And it was just handy. So that was a really useful way of using the notes as well, just to have that kind of handy. So you could use it that way. I was thinking also, as a singer, you could just write sequence of, say for warm-ups, I often use solfa or scale degree numbers. So you could even write the sequence of numbers in that make up the warm-up that you're going to sing, and just have those handy there, so that it's just showing and you don't have to kind of go and look it up. You just need a little prompt sometimes of what you're going to do.
I like that.
Yeah, do you? Okay, good. The more you use it, I think the good thing about this app, I like apps which have – there's a kind of a structure to them. There's a suggested way of using them, but there's enough flexibility for you to also adapt it to your own way. And sometimes there are ways that, I don't know, that I haven't thought of, and you go, oh, yeah, that's a great idea for using that part of the app and incorporating that into my practice session. So I think that works well. And I was going to say, one thing I really loved about the app when I first was looking at it is that there's a focus not only on playing. Like, practice items don't just have to be playing. A practice item might actually be stretching or warming up in your physical sense. And I'm guessing, I have a feeling that that's an interest area for you, about the sort of the holistic approach to playing. Is this true?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Music is a whole being experience.
And I don't think I had a lot of experience with that with my teachers growing up, with the teachers that I had. There wasn't a lot of focus on the non-playing aspects. There was a focus on things like ear training, but not on stretching or yoga or, I don't know, occasionally there'd be physical things when you're a singer. You often, you know, buzz your lips or do whatever. And I know brass players do that too, but, you know, that sort of focus on other things. So, it just sort of brings that to you. And again, because it's in the app as a practice item, you're less likely to forget it. You go, oh, yeah, that's going to be part of my routine today, which leads me nicely into the playlist. So tell everybody about the playlists and how they work and how they fit with the practice items.
Yay. A playlist is just it's just a practice session. It's an organization of practice items. You might say if you have an audition coming up, you might have all your audition excerpts on a single playlist, and you can shake the app to shuffle the playlist, which is pretty fun.
I didn't know that.
So you
can
do mock auditions. Yeah. But the way I use it is I actually have practice sessions for each day of the week, and they're themed. Monday is physical ease day. Wednesday is phrased emotion day. Saturday is performance excellence. Sunday is spontaneity. And then I have, you know, I add my practice items to those playlists. And it, like you said, it just takes 1 second to jog your memory.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about your themed days. If it's what was the first one? Physical ease, did you say? Or one of them was. So if you were practicing as a specific piece you're going to work on and you put it into that playlist, how does the physical ease theme work with what you're doing? That's the one thing you're concentrating on throughout that practice session? Is that how you're
That's right. It? Yeah. It's a theme that weaves between all of the items, whether I'm doing scales, if I'm stretching, I'm going easy. If I'm playing my piece, I don't worry so much about the tone or the phrasing. You know, I get overwhelmed when I play by how much there is that I can improve. So if I just have one thing to anchor me, like physical ease or tone or accuracy, then I know that I'm making solid gains in that area and I can trust the process a little bit, lean on that process.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that a lot. That's a really good approach. And I think it would, I also found generally practicing is overwhelming. It's that situation where you go, I've got so much to do, I'm so overwhelmed, so I'll just do nothing. Whereas if the practice items even help to focus on, look, just do the intro of this song. Don't worry about the rest. You just need to practice the intro.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you might also add in some scales for that day as well. But it gives you that focus of what to do, like you said, breaking it down, because it can be overwhelming. I listen to myself playing ukulele. I haven't played ukulele for very long, so there's a lot to work on, you know. But tone is one thing, you know. There's a lot of buzzing in the chords and it's really irritating. And my 11-year-old has much better tone than I do and it's killing me. So I'm like, right, I have to practice while he's at school so I can catch up. But it's that, it's that thing of focusing your mind on something. So I really like that themed idea. I think I might have to do that too. It means that you're sort of deciding, you don't have so many decisions to make when you sit down to practice. It's just kind of there for you.
There's a lot of research on decision fatigue.
Oh, yeah. I'm massive on decision fatigue.
It really
fatigue.
Kills creativity.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. A lot of my week is organized around me avoiding decision fatigue. So things like people laugh because I've run productivity workshops and people think I'm a little bit crazy, but I have a meal plan, which is like a rolling meal plan, and it's in a Google Calendar. And so once you set up 1 or 2 months, you just set it to repeat. And so basically I have my meal planning done. You could look January next year and I can tell you what we're going to eat for dinner, but it's to avoid decision fatigue. I know, right? Yeah, I know. But it's just a repeating calendar item in my Google Calendar. So I don't want to decide every week what we're having for the next week, because we have the same, roughly 25 meals in my repertoire, and I'll add new ones in on, and I have days which say something new today, try something new. But, you know, generally speaking, we all eat the same whatever number of meals. And so I just thought, you know what, recurring appointments in a Google Calendar, done. And yeah, it's, of course it shifts around. It's not totally rigid, but hey, if I don't want to decide for the week, it's just there and I don't need to decide. And it's great. So, and you know, people like Barack Obama, I heard actually had literally one suit, not a single suit, but one suit, but he had multiple of the same one suit and the same white shirt. You know, he had the same white shirt and I think a variety of ties, but he said he didn't want to make decisions about what to wear every day because he had much more important things to decide and he was avoiding that decision fatigue. So I love that. It's a bit of
Zuckerberg too, in his, yes, in his t-shirt.
Yeah, and yeah. Steve Jobs must have been too, because he always had the same, you know, uniform in inverted commas. It's just like, yeah, the black turtleneck and the, yeah, jeans, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, decision-making fatigue, it's such hard work. And by the end of the day, and, you know, if your practice time, session time is at the end of the day, and for, I imagine for a lot of students it would be, they've gone to school, they come home, they've got to put in an hour or two practice in the evening. And by that stage, you're less capable of making decisions because you've been doing it all day, you know, every day throughout the day.
Yeah.
So anything you
it's
can
so
do.
It's so easy.
That,
yeah. There's a start button and I just load Modacity and I go to the day and I press start.
Start, yep. Go.
So we and need I to... press finish and then I'm done. Done.
We need to tell people a little bit, I mean, the playlist, one thing I love about the playlist, so essentially if you've set up your practice items and you've got, you know, like practice items which include warm-ups and scales and maybe stretching, and then you've got this You've Got a Friend in Me intro that we've got to work on today and maybe three other pieces or whatever it is, you can then set up a playlist for a day's practice session which incorporates those things, multiple of those things, and it could be one or two or it could be eight or nine things depending on how long you've got to spend. But the thing I loved, and I didn't realize at first, is that you can say, hey, I want to spend it's going to be 2 minutes on setting up my instrument and tuning. And then the next thing is long notes. I'm just going to play long notes and I'm going to say I want to do that for 3 minutes. It's a lot of long notes, you know, let's just do long notes for tone. And then the next thing might be I'm going to do 5 minutes of scales and then I'm going to get stuck into my piece. And I love, so you put these all in a playlist, you set the order of the things and you, like you said, you press start and it says to you, hey, do your setting up of your instrument and your tuning, and it counts down the time and then it goes, okay, yeah, switch to the next thing. it's yeah, great. It's like circuit class in a gym. You know, it's like, okay, this mm-hmm. is what we're doing today. This is how long on each station and press go and here we go. So again, that decision-making fatigue avoidance thing, it's just great. Just get in there and get it done. And you know, as a teacher, I think that way you know your students are covering off on all those things. I think that's a big thing too. You know, you can practice all week and then get back to your lesson and your teacher might go, so long notes, how long did you spend, you know, just playing long notes? And they're like, oh yeah, I forgot about that totally. So having it there mm-hmm. in the act to tell you is a really great thing. Awesome. And what else have I missed? Anything else? I think we've covered most things. I know what we have. I'm looking at my notes here. The Metro Drone. Tell us about the Metro Drone.
Anybody who plays an instrument where intonation is important or who sings knows that having a little pitch reference every now and then can go a long way. And I wanted to build something. I do a lot of drone work. You put on the drone for 8 minutes and play with it and it can get overwhelming. And actually, from a scientific angle, what happens is you habituate to it, meaning that it loses its power as a stimulus for learning.
Right.
And what the Metro Drone does is it breaks that up into pulsed drones. So it pulses in time. It's combining pitch and time to give you a guide that is sort of like, yeah, integrated guide.
I don't actually think I've ever seen it before. It's weird because it's such a simple idea, really. And everyone's got a metronome app. There's, you know, 7 trillion of them in the mm-hmm. app store. And everyone's got a tuner, like there's another 7 million of those. And but the combination of the two, I kind of looked at it and I went, oh, okay, that would be cool. Because long notes, again, are really good. As a keyboard player, not so much, but I've been a wind player in the past. And having a drone to work with, and as a singer, a drone to work with is a really good thing. Because, yeah, you can play the note it's playing or something else to tune against, I should say. And, yeah, it can be really useful. So I think there's probably extra things I haven't thought of in terms of using that. But yeah, it's a really useful thing. And, it's just there. And you don't have to have the drone going at the same time as the metronome. You can just have a straight metronome or a straight tuner if you want to. But it's got that combination. The thing that I was wondering, and, you know, I know that you're probably adding features in all the time, but as a person who talks to teachers a lot, there's that aspect of teachers knowing more about how to practice than students do themselves. And I'm wondering, are there plans to have some sort of option for a teacher to set up practice items or playlists that they can send out to student apps, students who have Modacity on their own device. Yeah, is there plans for anything like that in the future?
Yeah, I'll get into that. This just reminds me of a big picture point that I really want to make, which is that 85% of people that study music quit eventually.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, I'm sure everybody listening to this really believes in the value of music and really wants their students to keep going and to have quality practice. And what happens between those lessons, if it's every week or every couple of weeks that a student has lessons, what happens in between is very, very important.
Almost more important in a way than the, not more important than the lesson, but as equal.
It's important. Yeah. Let's just say it's really important. So being able to guide your student and impart something to them and having some actual active technology that they can scaffold their learning and keep them engaged is really useful. So what we're doing for that is we're building a web interface so that during lessons or right after a lesson, the teacher can just type in, you know, what the student needs to practice.
Oh, that's cool.
And hit send, and then it gets shared with them.
Yeah, that'd be really, really cool. That would be wicked. Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of teachers are doing that anyway. It kind of reminds me of, you know, when you go to the doctor's surgery and they'll, you know, you have your appointment and then they do the same sort of thing. They take all these notes about what they did during the session and, you know, it gets added to your file. But that would be really great for tracking stuff and being able to communicate with students throughout or for them to sort of get information from the teacher easily. That's really cool.
Well, there's this kind of sacred moment as the lesson is winding down. And I used to, you know, be a very active teacher, university professor. And so, you know, I'd have my students come in with their notebook and then we'd finish and I'd be, all right, so let's like make some notes for what you're going to practice this week and how you're going to practice this week. And they'd be taking notes on paper. And I think even now when I teach, my students just, they go into Modacity and they take some notes and they add their practice items and they make a couple playlists so that they're ready to do it when they get home. I even did this recently. I've got an accident. I needed that orthopedic care physical therapy.
Oh.
And they said, okay, you got to do knee bends and quadricep angles and hip lunges. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to type this into Modacity. And
I made a neat, awesome playlist. Oh,
yeah.
That's how I'm going to use it. Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. I'm a runner, so on and off throughout, you know, over many years, there's always some injury that will come up every now and again. And over time, you end up with a lot of pieces of paper from the physio. So for this injury, there was this set of exercises, and then for this other injury, there'll be this set of exercises. And sometimes they cross over, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember doing that when I hurt my knee. So, you know, they'll. It's super hard. I was actually thinking the other day, I ended up taking photos of what they had written out for me because it's all still on paper. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. And, and the other ironic thing about the physios is that a lot of them still hand draw the stick figures of the positions, that, you know, of the exercises that you got to do. And I'm like, surely by now there's some kind of database of at least pictures, probably videos, but pictures of the exercises they want you to do for recovery. But and sure enough, one more forward thinking physio I went to, he actually did have like a database and he just printed out this collection of pictures. But it would be awesome to have them in the app, just a list of, yeah, do this thing. That's a great idea. Yeah, you could have a playlist per injury. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, okay, really good tip here. When you name your practice items and you name your playlists, you can just take a second and reflect on what your goal is or what energies you would like to cultivate. So my playlist for my knee is not called Bad Knee.
Yeah.
It's called Knee Awesome because I want my knee to feel awesome.
That's really good. Yeah, I like
or,
that a lot.
Or,
yeah.
You know, my breathing, it's called Breathing Feels Good. My Don Quixote horn excerpt is called Don Quixote Fat and Magical.
I love that. Yes, I think that's so good. Yeah, it's totally a motivation thing, isn't it? Because, yeah, I think when things are hard, it's hard to be motivated to fix them. But, yeah, if you did that, that's a great idea. I'd love to know. So when you sit down, just really briefly, I want to end with a couple of other things, but really briefly, what's your workflow when you sit down at the music stand, you got your horn and you bring out Midacity, and do you instantly jump in? So you jump into your Monday playlist, which is Physical Ease or whichever one it is. Is that the routine at the moment?
That's what I would do. Yeah, I'll pull up my playlist and I've got it right here, Monday Physical Ease. So the first thing I have is physical warm-up. So, and I've got notes on my physical warm-up, and I can see that I'm supposed to leisurely awaken the body, become a detached, focused observer, neck, jaw, shoulder, breathing, lips, tongue, throat, fingers, and hands. So I wake up those parts of my body, give myself a star rating, and then right after that, I've got remind what the instrument feels like. So I grab my instrument and do a little improv. I've got some notes there, like, what does it say? Simple, abstract, improvised warm-ups, check in with how things feel, luxuriant physical freedom, just enjoy the instrument for a little bit, and then set intentions for session is my next practice item, and then I've got all the repertoire that I'm working on.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good. I think it's so good because you've incorporated that physical stuff in there too, and the feeling and thinking about the instrument as well. Excellent. So Mark told me ahead of time that he's happy to share an offer with people listening to the podcast today. So I've got a website address, which I'll read out now, but I'll also put it in the show notes in case people are walking their dogs and can't write it down at the moment. So it's modacity.co/MTT podcast. Did I say that right? I think that's correct.
You got it. Yeah. modacity.co.
So the app itself, of course, it's free to use. I mean, there's a lot you can do without paying any money. So great for people to test it out that way. But then there's, if you want sort of to unlock everything in the app, I think it's unlimited notes and archive access. Is that correct? Then there's a subscription amount per month. And I think it's been super useful. I've just started to use it and I'm really going to try hard to make sure that every time I practice, I open up the app, because I think it's the only way to get things into your workflow is to actually to get into the habit of using something and then deciding after a certain time, you know, does it help you or not? I find a lot of people ask me, for instance, what's the to-do app? You know, what's the task-making app that you're using? Because in their mind, the app is going to fix all of their issues of being disorganized and that sort of thing. And so you name an app, and it honestly doesn't matter which app it is, as long as you actually use it regularly and get into a workflow, like what is it that you're going to do, and have you got something to do that you need to add to your list? Go and do it in the app. Don't write it on the post-it note that's on the desk. You know, you need to get in the habit of using it that way. So I think for this, it's going to be the same sort of thing. I've only been using it for a few days and I'm already in the habit of I'll just get it out, because what was that thing I wanted to focus on today, or what are the chords of the intro that I need to look at in the app notes section? So, yeah, so I think that's a great way to get started. So thank you.
Yeah, it can be really simple. Like if you don't want to type in everything you practice, you can just make a one item for your instrument called violin or piano and just practice there. At least you're in an environment that offers inspiring quotes and self-recording and deliberate practice, and all that stuff is still there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that recording thing as well, I'm going to start using that too. And just I think that's motivational, because hopefully you do actually improve over time. I've noticed I can play the chords more smoothly for this section. So I want to record myself so that I can see. It's like the before and after when you're on a weight loss journey, you know. People get disappointed when they haven't done the before photo, because then when you get to a few weeks into it, you know, you really need to see that motivation. Yes, I've actually come this far, at least so far, and you know, where you're going to end up. So that's a great thing. Now, are there any other tech tools that you're loving at the moment? Anything else that you're using in your everyday life?
You know, I'm using this app called ZenKit that's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. And this is like a to-do list thing, is that correct?
It's like Trello on steroids.
Yeah.
I
used to use Trello.
I like that a lot. I use mood notes, which helps me track my mood and use cognitive behavioral therapy to debug any negative emotions I may be having.
That's cool. And so you put into that app how you're feeling at the moment, and then does it give you advice on how, if you need to change?
It walks you through a process. It's really cool.
Oh, that's very cool. Oh, I need to check out ZenKit too. I use Asana. I was using Trello, switched to Asana, found it meet the needs more readily. And I work with a team of people, so we have all access to the same Asana account, but I did like the visual. Trello is another kind of like to-do project management type tool, and you can put things on a card, they call it, can't you? You can kind of drag them around and it's quite visual. I did love that aspect of Trello too. So is Zenkit a bit more like that?
It's like that, but it has better, it has different views.
Oh,
so
yep.
You can have the calendar view, you can have the Kanban view, the list view, the table view, and the mind map view, which is really cool.
No, see, I don't think in mind map, so that doesn't appeal to me.
Okay,
I've really
tried.
The only time I do it is when I'm planning out website stuff. But I don't know why. I can't do mind mapping. If I'm brainstorming on a topic for, let's say, an online course that I want to do, I can't think in mind map. I have to think in lists and categories and headings and stuff like that. I don't know, something about the way my head works. So yeah, it's great. It's been great talking to you. I love hearing about the app and the journey that it's on. And you know, there's so many tools out there, but I like this, the fact that this is a different focus. It's not just the same as a lot of the other music practice tools. So highly recommend people go and check it out, download it. There's a few videos on YouTube sort of walking you through how to do things. I found I needed to kind of get stuck into it and just sort of work out my own workflow in the app. And now I've kind of got that in my head. So I've really been enjoying it. So thank you.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to hear some fun French horn playing, the deliberate practice video features my horn Ruby making her debut.
Oh, Ruby, you have a name. Yeah. I have a few friends with instruments, professional players, and they have names. Actually, I'm trying to think, is one of my violinist friends, was his named Ruby too? Oh, something like that. Anyway, I can't think of it right now. Oh, that's great. I did actually watch that video. It was good. It's great. There's a couple of you talking through using the app, and I think they were really useful. So thank you for that. Great. Excellent. Thanks so much, Mark.
My pleasure.
And that's it for today's show. A quick reminder, don't forget to sign up for the free training course, 9 iPad Apps Music Teachers Love and How to Use Them, so that you can receive your professional development certificate of attendance. You can head over to midnightmusic.com.au/iPad apps to grab your free spot. The Music Tech Teacher podcast is hosted by me, Katie Wardrobe. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.